They are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views and the views of our callers, views of our guests. Today, our special guest is Dr. Dennis Cuddy, and we're going to be talking about his most recent article on News Reviews called Security and Prosperity Partnership Background. Dr. Cuddy has testified before Congress, taught at the university level, worked in the Reagan Department of Education. He's a great researcher, and we rely a great deal upon the validity of his research. Certainly, we carry a number of the books he's written, and we'll tell you later about those. But we're going to be talking about this move to destroy the sovereignty of our nation and merge us into a one-world government. It's not imaginary. It's very real. And with that will come the loss of everything you hold dear, your freedom. When we do away and eliminate the American currency, the value of our life savings will be gone. And people say, oh, that's just scare talk. That could never happen. I mean, this is America. Everything's ever going to be fine. We're going to be raptured out of here before anything bad ever happens. And I simply would ask, where does it say that in the Bible about America? America's not having to suffer for the sins of the people and what we've allowed to happen not only here but throughout the world. And well, I'm very, very concerned that as our attention is being focused on the expanding war in the Middle East and in the Near East, that we are going to see progressive loss of freedom here at home, not by accident, by intent. And it's part of a long-range plan. With that as a background, Dr. Dennis Cuddy, I'm going to let you pick up and tell the story.
Thank you. In the previous article that I had on newsreviews.com, toward the end of it, I talked about, just mentioned the SPP, the Security and Prosperity Partnership, that was signed by the three nations, the leaders, Mexico, Canada, and the U.S. And I mentioned briefly the Trans-Texas Corridor, which would become a Trans-American Highway going up from Mexico up through Kansas City and then on up to Canada. But I thought it would be helpful to your listeners to give some background, not talk too much about the project itself, because as I said, I've mentioned that before. But this would be the background, because it's as I've said many times before, it's like piecing a puzzle together to see where all this is coming from. And what we have, and the reason I'm spending some time on that, is there has been a conditioning process recently in the past 3-4 decades to get Americans, especially the younger generation, to think, as I would call it, temporocentrically, meaning today is all that matters. It's almost a sort of Epicurean, you know, live, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we may die sort of thing that flowed from the 1960s and 70s, the me generation, as it was called, look out for number one, and so on. And what they've done deliberately is to cause them to not know history, and they generally portray it as, well, this is a bunch of dead white European males, and who cares, you know, what happened 200 or 100 years ago. And the point, as you mentioned many times, Santayana would say, if you don't know what's happened in the past, you will be condemned to repeat these failures again in the future. But not only that, oftentimes history, unfortunately, was and was portrayed as some dry, sterile memorization of dates. Any good history class in the past would not do. I used to teach history in the public schools as well as Western Hemisphere geography, and it wasn't simply memorizing the agricultural products of Argentina. It's a total picture to show why we got to the place we are now, so that you can better judge what's happening to you and who's trying to do what to whom in the future.
All right, we'll be back in just a moment to describe who's trying to do what to whom in the future. Bye-bye.
By now, it is no surprise that the U.S. ranks 37th in the world in occurrence of chronic illness, according to the World Health Organization. Due to modern farming and food processing practices, our food supply has become nutrition deficient, deficient in nutrients essential to good health. It is time to take back your health. Everyone has the right to good health. Join the self-reliant families, entrepreneurs, and the company pioneering cutting-edge glyconutrient technology. The wellness revolution is projected projected to be a $1 trillion industry by 2010. We are looking for people who are serious about bettering their lives and the lives of the people they love. Better health is possible. To learn more, go to therighttogoodhealth.com. You have the right to decide what is attainable in your lifetime. You have the right to build a healthy lifestyle that you can share with your friends and family. You have the right to achieve self-reliance and financial independence. And you have the right to good health. Visit therighttogoodhealth.com.
Terrorism, chemical attacks, dirty bombs, fallout, biological attack, anthrax, and to top it all off, duct tape and plastic. Alarming words for our time. But how do you protect your family during such a crisis? The video Sheltering in Place, Surviving Acts of Terrorism from Biological, Chemical, and Radioactive Fallout was developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government. Anyone can follow the simple instructions. It's presented by a housewife as they walk you step-by-step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. If you're not the type who waits till it's too late, then you need the video Sheltering in Place. Get the critical information you need now for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 and tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438 or order on the web at murkywater.com.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonance. If the resonant frequency force making the glass vibrate is big enough, the size of the vibration will become so large that the glass shatters. Using a similar principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that diseased organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. Now available is the 2006 BioSolutions Plus. The BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Simple step-by-step instructions using pictures are easy to follow. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and our guest is Dr. Dennis Kelly. We're talking about the history of the things that have gone in this country, really over a period of almost 200 years. And if you don't understand the history, you don't understand where we're going. As George Santayana had said, those who cannot remember the past are condemned to relive it. Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to relive it. And if we don't understand that what is taking place today with his ideas of, free immigration across our borders, with this idea of these security and prosperity partnership, with the idea of the NAFTA corridor, this great highway that's to bifurcate our country, if we don't understand that doing away with the tariffs of our country and allowing goods to come into this country without any compensation, if we don't understand why our leaders are intent upon shipping our jobs and our manufacturing and our wealth overseas, why one day we're going to wake up and find ourselves living in a third world country, and we deserve to. Because, of course, we don't have to allow any of this to happen because we are the majority. There are only a few people on the other side, but they're organized. They control the media. They control the wealth of our country, and they have an intense hatred for this nation. Their loyalty is not to America, but it is the idea of a one-world government and a new one-world religion under a new ruling elite. They will be the elite. So with that as a background, Dr. Cuddy, you pick up the story.
As I was saying before the break, it's unfortunately history has been portrayed as to memorize the date that the Constitution was signed, something like that, and so children would have to memorize things, and they were not sometimes placed in the context. The important thing in knowing the date of the Constitution is to see what came before and what flowed from it. Why was it rejected initially until there was a group of Bill of Rights, 10 amendments? Why were people willing to fight might die for that? Are they jeopardized today? So there are, it's relevant to what's going on today, but only if you can see a pattern that's going on. And that's what history gives you, a pattern. Same thing with geography. It's not just memorizing, you know, a list of agricultural products, but to see how they affect you today, what the importance, is there an economic impact, does it affect you personally, and so on. So to recognize what's going on, it's sort of like if I explained to somebody about music, I would ask them, do you really think rock music just came from nowhere, that it doesn't have a purpose, that it didn't have an origin, that the origin was by somebody who wanted to do something with it, and so on. So in this sense, what I do is I just try and give a brief back, well, not brief, it's a short background, but it goes back a couple of hundred years. And I start with just about the time that we were, just shortly after the Constitution was ratified. Early on, we actually had magazines or journals, as they may have called them, and one was American Museum. And the July 1792 issue published a Philip Freneau's warning to Americans about how their republic could be undermined by this power elite. And I've mentioned this in previous programs, so I won't go into a lot of detail, is just to indicate he mentioned step by step how losing wars would be part of it, how getting people in debt would be part of it, and so on. And the point is, the power elite at that time pretty much liked the status quo. And they didn't like the idea of this young upstart republic coming along and these people being willing to die for these certain principles that we had a creator and certain inalienable rights. This was a real threat of independence, and the power elite doesn't like independence. So for the first half of the 1800s, there were various mechanisms being put in place globally. It wasn't just here. The Illuminati, for example, would infiltrate Masonic lodges. They would place their people as the tutors of Alexander I of Russia. They would, you know, tutor princes who would then become kings and so on. But in terms of America, this young upstart republic, they felt that one of the best things would be if they could create a certain amount of division in the country. And so the idea was they would create a situation where the country would become divided. It didn't really matter to them, north, south, east, west, but in this case, it suited their purposes for a north-south division. And the next point I put in my background is in 1863. This is before the Civil War has ended, during the middle of it. This historian named Motley wrote a letter to the London Times describing, quote, the ultimate object of the conspirators, quote, to establish a Gulf Empire, end quote, which would include the southern U.S. and Mexico. And once again, I've explained this in the past, they wanted, in their words, unlimited Negroes producing unlimited cheap products. They wanted to separate off the southern part of the U.S. along with Mexico, the Caribbean islands, into this Gulf empire and separate that from the north, because then the United States would not be as strong. You know, a empire or a country divided is not as strong as the totality. And so that was one of their main concerns and goals. And Lincoln knew exactly what they were up to, and the very next year, in November 21 of 1864, President Lincoln wrote a letter to a fellow named William Elkin, and he explained, and I've had this quote many times before, of his great fear that the power elite is working, quote, as he said, as Lincoln wrote, until all wealth is aggregated in a few hands and the republic is destroyed, end quote. In fact, Lincoln said he was more fearful of that than of the Civil War, the actual combat between North and South. And about 5 months later, of course, Lincoln was assassinated. About the same time, you have John Ruskin over in Oxford, and he's going to be the mentor of Cecil Rhodes, and a young Cecil Rhodes is there listening to his lectures. And this is an elite again. Ruskin has on his grave, the top of his grave, a swastika, an elitist symbol. This is pre-Hitler. And Cecil Rhodes is listening to it about being the best northern blood, as he said. And, of course, as we know, Rhodes developed his Confession of Faith in his first will, and he had eventually seven wills, where he was mapping out the secret society of the elect, and that actually took place in 1891 is when it was formed. He'd planned it for quite a while. And the society's purpose was, to, as Rhodes said, quote, to take the government of the whole world, end quote. And he had a circle of initiates, a very close-knit, about seven or eight people, but around them, much larger association of helpers. And they were in various countries, not only in England, but in Canada and the U.S. and Australia and so on. And they formed, this association of helpers formed roundtable groups, which from which came the Council on Foreign Relations and the Royal Institute of International Affairs. And now the next day step that I put here is an October 27, 1908 letter, which Dr. Stan has, and he's actually sent to me. It's part of the secret records that that Carol Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, was able to refer to. And the reason I'm putting that is it's a good example, a quote, of how they worked. Upon Rhodes' death, Alfred Milner, Lord Milner, was implementing Rhodes' plan. And he wrote a letter that we found in these secret records to a Canadian Association of Helper member called Arthur Glazebrook. There were several of these members. We have the list of the members in the U.S. and Canada and Australia and so on of the association members. And Glazebrook is being told, quote, by, this is by Milder, quote, "I think every member of your body," this is a roundtable group in Canada, in Toronto, "should feel it's his principal business," his principal business, "to influence as many people as possible who are not of it and who do not know they are being influenced," end quote. So you see, it's a secret mechanism. We're going to influence these people, but they're not going to know what we're doing to them. And a few decades later, about the mid-century, mid-20th century, what you have is a lot of Rhodes scholars, these are the scholarships for Cecil Rhodes, are in place, in, not only in the U.S., but in Canada and elsewhere, and practically surrounding the Canadian Prime Minister at the time, Lester Pearson, are these Rhodes scholars, and they're influencing him along the lines that Cecil Rhodes had in mind. And according to this man named William Fry, who wrote a book, A United Nations Peace Force, Pearson would be, quote, the author of the UN Emergency Force. I'm sorry, Fry is the author of the UN Emergency Force, which would grow to have a collective security function. And so what you have with Pearson as the Canadian Prime Minister, described by Fry as the author of this UN Emergency Force, is the activation of this larger military element. So it's not just, you know, we're sitting around as a bunch of politicians, but here Lester Pearson is implementing, via the Rhodes Scholar's influence upon him, this UN Emergency Force, because you have to have some sort of global enforcement mechanism to use, some sort of military capabilities. It's not just enough to have some economic sanctions. And so in 1942, in talking about economics, you have one of his association members, another Canadian, named Percy Corbett. And he authored a book in 42 called Post-War Worlds. Now, see, the Second World War isn't even anywhere near over, but he's already, you know, looking at the plan for post-war worlds. And he's calling for, quote, a world association binding together the, and coordinating regional groupings of states that may evolve toward one universal federal government. World government is the ultimate aim. See, they're very, very plain about this. With common economic agencies for advice and control, an economic and financial organization, he's envisioning like a World Bank and so on, embracing trade, development, migration commissions, and a central bank. The functions of these institutions would be to regulate the production and distribution of raw materials and food, control the flow of inter-regional investment and migration, etc. So if you look at what's happening today, we basically have all of these things in place. There are common economic agencies. They have a great deal of control over international finance. It's an economic and financial organization. They involve trade, the World Trade Organization, so on, the Agency for International Development, there's development, migration commissions, and a central bank for, you know, not only for each country but for the world, the Bank for International Settlements. And they cover interregional investment and migration, and that's one of the things that we're looking at today as a problem, migration. I believe I hear the music, so we'll pick up after the break.
Okay, we'll be back here. Remember, it used to be illegal immigration. Now it's just migration, migration from one country to another as we lose our sovereignty and merge into the New World Order.
Do you know the truth about breast cancer? Do you realize that the race for the cure is over? The best kept secret in the world today is that now it is possible to kill cancer without personal suffering, mutilation, and poisoning of your entire system. Now, it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Inc.'s patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at a physician's office. Star War technology at its best. For more information, call 702-953-0267 or visit www.lasermedinc.com or call 702-953-0267.
Currency devaluation, inflation, one and the same. If you had deposited $100,000 in a bank at 1% in a 30-month period dating from May 24, 2005, here is what happened to your funds. The dollar lost 33% of its value in that time frame. The bank paid you 1%. Your $100,000 now has a net purchasing power of $68,000. Here is reality. The devaluation of currency equals real inflation. Keep in mind how the value of your paper assets are measured in dollars. Gold in the same time frame increased 35% in value. Learn how to protect and profit in this truly unstable world economy. Call Midas Resources at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
The Berkey Security Pack is your one-stop solution for unexpected emergencies. It provides you with purified water, light, power, and communications ability. The Security Pack includes a Berkey Light water purifier, an LED base, two Berkey Sport filtration bottles, the Berkey battery adapter, the Berkey MP solar charger, as well as a backup set of two Black Berkey purification elements. The Berkey Security Pack is important every day and a must during emergencies because it provides purified water, long-term low-energy lighting, backup battery power for your Berkey LEDs, free long-term solar power for communications devices such as radios, walkie-talkies, and cell phones, as well as power for small applications. Get the one-stop solution for your emergency and everyday needs. The Berkey Security Pack, a retail value of $518 for only $399 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Not yet available in Iowa.
Some people believe a group of wealthy men control political parties, the American media, and the wealth of our nation. Is this true? Dr. Stanley Monteef spent 40 years studying secret societies and subversive movements. He lived in Africa for 3 years, and when he returned home, he studied the writings of the men who shaped the modern world. His book, Brotherhood of Darkness, identifies the people who control the world and the organizations they created. Dr. Monteef exposes the movement behind Rhodes Scholarship, the origin of the Council on Foreign Relations, and the myths surrounding communism. He discusses the goal of all covert organizations, so if you read Brotherhood of Darkness, you will learn a secret that has been passed down through the centuries. When you learn this secret, you will understand what the future holds and what you must do to help preserve our nation. Call and order your copy. 877-300-7645. Only $12.95. That's 877-300-7695.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at the Genesis Communication Network. Our guest is Dr. Dennis Cuddy. He's talking about, of course, his latest article. You'll find it at News with Views. It's called Security and Prosperity Partnership Background. And nothing that is happening today is happening in a vacuum. It's all part of a long-range plan by people who have a different worldview. And whether we talk about them as the Rhodes Scholars, whether we talk them about the members of Cecil Rhodes Secret Society that was organized in 1891, whether we talk about them as members of the Council on Foreign Relations or the Bilderbergers or the Trilateral Commission or the followers of David Rockefeller, I call them the Brotherhood of Darkness. They have a goal. Their goal is the destruction of the sovereignty of this nation. And as Dr. Cuddy will tell you later in his essay, David Rockefeller has openly admitted that he is, he has been accused, he and his family have been accused of part of a cabal that is conspiring with others throughout the world to bring about a new international economic order? And he says, if that is the charge, I plead guilty. I am a proud internationalist, and that's what it's really all about, the destruction of America. So why doesn't Rush Limbaugh tell you that? Why, because he's a good friend of the people in the Council on Foreign Relations. He is certainly one of the finest conservatives money could buy, as is Sean Hannity and so many of the other people in the media today. They're doing exactly what they're supposed to do, and that is mold the minds, impressions, and ideas of the American people, so they will not know what's going on until it's far too late. So, Dr. Kennedy, with that as a background, please pick up this exciting story you're telling.
Okay. Let me go back, because a lot of people, when you go through some chronology or background like this, they get caught up in the details, and I want to reiterate something. The Security and Prosperity Partnership has to do with linking the three countries, the U.S., Canada, and Mexico. So when I read through Philip Freneau in 1792 and this power elite wanting to divide us, remember to think of it in those terms. And in 1863, Motley talking about the conspirators and separating the North and the South so that the South is part of a Gulf Empire. Think of that in terms of today, sort of the establishment of an Azatlan, as they call it. When President Lincoln, I quoted him talking about all the wealth being aggregated in a few hands and the Republic is destroyed, think about how that has been happening today. And then, as you mentioned, Cecil Rhodes and his Take the Government of the World, and Percy Corbett, one of his Association of Helper members in Canada, talking about coordinating regional groupings of states. Remember to think of that in terms of Canada, the U.S., and Mexico, and an organization that would embrace trade, development, and migration, as Dr. Stan just said, not immigration, but, as he says, the flow of inter-regional investment and migration. So remember, we're talking in terms of this Security and Prosperity Partnership and how that fits today exactly with what this plan mentioned. So the next part was in 1952, you have this world government map that I've mentioned before. I'm not going to get into all the details. It was formed by the World Association of Parliamentarians for World Government. This is Louis Sohn and Grenville Clark and people like that. And what they had, I won't go into everything, but one of the main aspects would be that Chinese, specifically Mongolian forces, would be policing Mexico when this happened. And as I mentioned in a previous program, it doesn't have anything to do with this. Watch in the Middle East. You see the conflict brewing there between the Hezbollah in Lebanon and the Israelis and PLO and all of that chaos over there. According to this map of 52, watch to see if any forces from what used to be called Ceylon, now called Sri Lanka, come in there. Just keep that in the back of your mind. See if any of those forces show up, because when this world or new world order, world government comes about, there are supposed to be these Sri Lankan forces in that area. That's sort of their area to police. All right, back for the SPP. What I mentioned is there'll be this Trans-America Highway that runs from Mexico to Canada, splitting the U.S. And now, why I'm mentioning that is we already know that part of that plan is that Chinese, specifically Chinese, containers from ships will be offloaded in Mexican ports, and that the reason for that is it would avoid American longshoremen who would be paid more, and you know there's certain regulations and safety provisions and all this, and the truckers would be Mexican truckers. That avoids American Teamsters, the Teamsters unions, who would be higher paid and so on, and they come on this superhighway up through Kansas City, and you would think in Kansas City it would be American inspectors, but no, it'll be Mexican. They're setting up an office there, Mexican Customs Office in Kansas City, and the inspection would be performed there by these Mexican customs officials. I just talked to somebody yesterday saying how these Mexican trucks are not very good, and the drivers can't speak English, and they're already having accidents, but we're going to see more of that.
I'm afraid we are. I think that's all part of a long-range plan, and of course, you can find this article up on newswithviews.com. That's newswithviews.com. Look on the far left. You'll see the list of authors, Dr. Cuddy. It's right at the top. We'll be right back.
This broadcast is available on MP3 CD format at GCNLive.com or call toll-free 877-300-7645.
Are you concerned about the high cost of prescription drugs? Since January of 2006, RxDrugCard.com members have saved an average of $33 per prescription filled. That's over 46% savings. The average savings for generic drugs was over 71%. RxDrugCard.com is the only major discount prescription drug plan that offers a price lookup page, so you can get an idea of your discounted price before you enroll. RxDrugCard.com is for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. There are no age restrictions, all prescriptions are covered, and 95% of all pharmacies in the U.S. participate, including Walmart, Walgreens, CVS Pharmacy, and many more. With RxDrugCard.com, you will save immediately with no messy forms or paperwork. Membership fees start at only $4.50 per month and include a 30-day unconditional money-back guarantee. Visit us at www.rxdrugcard.com or call us at 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461. Do it today.
Moving, moving, moving.
Captain, we got trouble.
What?
The cattle haven't had water for 2 days. We found a pond, but the cattle won't drink from it.
Well, why not?
Well, Captain, it's loaded with pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites. It's also contaminated with chemicals such as atrazine, benzene, and MTBE. And there's even heavy metals like lead and mercury in the water.
Break out the Crown Berkey.
But, Captain, we've got 200 head of cattle.
That Crown Berkey will purify 27 gallons of water per hour with 8 elements. You just keep it full.
Captain, it's working. The cattle are drinking, and look, they're even smiling.
Berkey, the filter that won the West.
Get your Crown Berkey Purifier with two Black Berkey Purification Elements for only $299 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438. Or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
Not yet available in California or Iowa. So, Janice, where are you and Jim going on vacation this summer?
Definitely somewhere with a beach, though who knows if our feet will even touch the sand.
That reminds me, Janice, have you figured out how to talk to Jim about his problem?
No, I want to, but men can be so sensitive.
Well, it's only going to get worse. Remember, I was going through the same thing with Dan. Then I found Mycoside NS.
What's Mycoside NS?
Mycoside NS kills the germs that can cause fungal infections. It worked great for Dan. He had the worst-looking thick yellow toenails. Now his nails look clear and healthy.
Do I need a prescription?
No, you can get Mycoside NS antifungal treatment in the foot care aisle at any drugstore or major retailer.
And it really worked?
Yep, it worked on me too. I had some white discolorations on my toe. I just applied Mycoside NS daily. I didn't even have to remove my nail polish.
Sounds easy. I can start planning our beach getaway.
Yeah, Mycoside definitely gave us the confidence to bare our feet again.
Pick up Mycoside NS at drugstores and major retailers. Look for a free bonus gift in each box.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and with us is Dr. Dennis Cuddy, and we're talking about the long-range planning that's leading us to where we are today, to the loss of American sovereignty, to the security and prosperity plan put forward by the, well, it's really, of course, a Council on Foreign Relations plan, but we can't tell them people that. They're supposed to believe that George Bush really makes up all these things on his own, and that he is the real architect and the director of our foreign policy, which nothing could be further from the truth. He is simply a figurehead for the establishment, just as Vicente Fox and Paul Martin from Canada, and now the new man from Canada, all of the rulers are simply figureheads for the power elite that really does run the world. And people say, well, but you're talking about back at the time of the Civil War and the power elite. How could it be the same power elite, you know? Well, it's simply because there are spiritual forces behind this. And until you recognize that the spiritual forces have been working not simply for hundreds of years, but literally for thousands of years, moving us towards where we are today, towards the time when the world will be as one, and all national sovereignty will be gone. And we will have a new world secular order under the control of a new world, well, religious elite, but not the religion that many people would imagine. So, Dr. Cuddy, pick up the story.
Sure. The last thing I mentioned was the 1952 map that was set up to show what nation's police function would be over, what other nations, when the world government came about. And the next year, we've mentioned many times in the past how Ford Foundation President Rowan Gaither talked about White House directives to have a comfortable merger between the U.S. and USSR. And the reason I'm mentioning that is not just between those two countries. Now, remember, Rhodes's plan is that you would link regional economic arrangements and then say they have to be managed by this world government. Now, the point about mentioning the Ford Foundation is in that same year, John J. McCloy, who was an agent of the power elite, he became chairman of the CFR until 1970. And a lot of people know that. What relatively few people are aware of is that during that time, from 1958 to 65, he was also chairman of the Ford Foundation. And shortly after his tenure there as chairman, you had the Ford Foundation strongly getting into the funding and direction of various Hispanic groups. Since 1968, for example, the Southwest Council of La Raza Unida was created with it was a large grant, $630,000 from the Ford Foundation. And that organization, La Raza, supports the movement to bring really massive numbers of Mexicans into the U.S. The total number from that year, from 1968 to 92, that the Ford Foundation grants gave to radical Hispanic groups was tremendous. It was over $31 million. And according to Henry Sanchez Stefan, who was former head of La Raza, he said, this is a quote by him, he said, quote, "It would hardly be an exaggeration to say that the Ford Foundation is the Chicano movement," end quote. So they are basically driving this movement that we have today to recreate Azatlan and Reconquista and other terms that you may have heard.
But, of course, it's not simply legal immigration. It
right.
is they're encouraging illegal immigration. They're encouraging people to violate our laws. Why would an American, tax-exempt foundation, first of all, do that? And then why would our government allow a tax-exempt foundation to spend its money to encourage people to break the laws of our land unless there is a much larger agenda behind what's going on? Would that be a fair statement?
Oh, absolutely. And at this time is the time that you have, I mentioned before, a group called Planetary Citizens. And the reason I'm bringing that up now is I'm looking at now the Planetary Citizens information sheet here, and they actually say in May of 1970 the concept of planetary unity emerged in tangible form at the Conference on Human Survival, and Lester Pearson, that's the fellow I mentioned before of Canada who became responsible for that UN emergency force, as well as UTANT hosted it, chaired Lester Pearson chaired it, other people, Norman Cousins, Donald Keyes, and others were involved in this concept, moving us toward this this notion of planetary citizenship. And a lot of people would say, well, you know, it's David Rockefeller, you know, it's this big money people. But this notion of a one world is a part of a larger perspective. It has liberal people as well. And so the next item I put here is 1972, where CFR member Lester Brown, who's no right winger, he'd actually became Humanist of the Year in 1991. He authored a book called World Without Borders, and in the L.A. Times in that same year, November the 19th, that 72, he described the need for countries, quote, to sacrifice a measure of sovereignty, end quote. So they're using those terms even before Richard Gardner, who in April of 74 in Foreign Affairs, he's a Rhodes Scholar, published in The Hard Road to World Order that we had to have an end run around national sovereignty, eroding it piece by piece. And that would get us, his people, further than the old-fashioned frontal assault. But I would urge your listeners to remember that he's not just talking about that. He's explaining how it would happen. And he goes on to explain how GATT and a strong economic influence would be part of that process. Economics often drives a lot of these movements through with multinational or transnational corporations and job losses and transfers and so on. Okay, moving ahead because time's fleeting here. 1991, to give another example, because I've been talking a lot about the U.S. and Mexico, let's look at Canada. What you have is something called the Pacific Northwest Economic Region, and your listeners can find that at www.pnwer.org. And that began in 91, and it's comprised, as you might imagine, of Alaska, as well as Idaho, Montana, Oregon, and Washington. Those are U.S. states, but also Alberta and British Columbia. Those would be Canadian provinces. And it is defined as, quote, an economic consortium created by legislative leaders of states and provinces in the Pacific Northwest region of the U.S. and Canada. And its goals are, quote, to build a world-class workforce to make the Pacific Northwest economic region, as that word, competitive in worldwide markets, and to develop a lifelong education system, remember that, education is part of it, for the states and provinces, which includes measurable objectives, end quote. And most, except Alaska, you may have heard of the term Cascadia. They refer to that region as Cascadia. It's interregional. It's both sides of the border. Okay, a few years later, 4 years after that, of course, is Mikhail Gorbachev's first State of the World Forum. And Trilateral Commission, the first Trilateral Commission director, Zbigniew Brzezinski, was there. And that's where he said, quote, we cannot leap into world government through one quick step. A consensual global system requires a process. The precondition for eventual and genuine globalization is progressive regionalization, because by that we move toward larger, more stable, more cooperative units, end quote. And so here you see that plan, just like P.E. Corbett, part of Rhodes's Association of Helpers, was saying in 1942. Here you have Brzezinski repeating it, and he's repeating it there, you know, with Gorbachev there and all the elite present. They just, you know, eating this stuff up. And so the next year, in 96, is when Rhodes Scholar and future CFR President Richard Haass, and this is over 5 years before the terrorist attacks of 9/11, he writes a column in the Palm Beach Post called Land of the Free Makes a Tempting Target. And I'll just read a little of this because we've mentioned it before. And here he says, a world in which borders, it's a world in which borders count less and less. And he talks about terrorism. Now, note how terrorism plays in this. He said, the war against terrorism is a war with an unlimited number of battles, none of them decisive. In other words, this goes on forever, just like George Bush said about the war against terror. And he says, what price are you prepared to pay? The price will be financial and personal. Remember that for your, you know, homeland security and so on. People will have to accept, note that, have to accept, longer lines before entering buildings, longer delays at airports, more intrusive searches of belongings and other persons. Greater vigilance will also involve a willingness to compromise some of our civil liberties, including accepting more frequent phone taps and surveillance. Those who would resist paying such a price should keep in mind that terrorism could well get worse in coming years. And remember, that's 5 years before 9/11.
And, of course, this was all planned, ladies and gentlemen. In fact, you go back and you read the Hart-Rudman report that came out starting in 1998 and then the last one in 2000. They told you exactly what was going to happen. The same thing with the Bremer report that came out in the year 2000. Even explaining how it was going to be brought about by this idea. Everybody was so bumbling, our bumbling idiots. Oh, the people in government and intelligence were just so incompetent. Ladies and gentlemen, they needed an excuse to get us into war. And I'll tell you, 9-1-1 was a wonderful excuse. After all, we had to catch Osama bin Laden. Dead or alive, the president promised that. But he just never got around to doing it. It's amazing how short our memories are. But here, back in 1996... almost everything we're seeing when you go to the airport, you know, the way we're being treated, many going to government offices now, the long lines, everybody has to be checked. The terrorists are here. They're going to get Osama bin Laden's going to get you if we don't check every little old lady getting on the airplane and going in the government building. They know exactly what they're doing. They're just getting us used to being subservient as we move away from freedom towards fascism into the under the New World Order. Well, let's go on to 1999.
I'll sort of speed up here because time's fleeting. Again, regarding the three nations, they're involved in Security and Prosperity Partnership. In July 7th of 1999, the Toronto Star published NAFTA for Military Proposed. And what this was is talking about a report by Lieutenant Colonel Joseph Nunez of the U.S. Army War College advocating a joint command for American, Mexican, and Canadian forces. The very next year, a year later, the Ottawa Canada Citizen published Border with U.S. Likely to Disappear. And once again, this it talks about an American think tank is calling on Canada, U.S., and Mexico, is talking about CFR, to combine customs, immigration, and security functions. Remember, it's not just, you know, migration, not just security, let's protect our borders from terrorists, but customs, immigration, and security functions to the point at which borders become almost irrelevant. A study released yesterday by the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, we'll get to the CFR in a minute, urges three countries to explore whether a North American integration project, remember I've talked about that before, the term integration, is worth pursuing and to develop a strategic plan for rethinking border relationships. So it's not just the CFR. Here you have the Carnegie Endowment as well. And, of course, when I talk about the Security and Prosperity Partnership, I want to mention that in March 23 of 2005 is when the agreement was signed among the heads of state of the three nations. It was in Waco, Texas. And Jerome Corsi, who's been a guest on your show in the past, has talked about Robert Pastor a lot as the U.S. Point on that. Two others you may want to pay attention to are the Canadian writer was Wendy Dobson and Luis Rubio was in Mexico. And depending upon how you download it, it may be anywhere from 72 to 100 pages. And you'll notice that this report, the Security and Prosperity Partnership, calls for a North American Union by 2010, and this union would have its own court, its own legislative body, its executive commission, customs officials, and eventually a currency called the Amero for all three nations. And as you mentioned, David Rockefeller, who was chairman right after of the CFR, right after John J. McCloy, he was chairman from 70 to 85. In 2002, his memoirs where he says, and we'll go quickly through this, some even believe we, the Rockefeller family, are part of a secret cabal conspiring against or working against the best interests of the United States, characterizing my family and me as internationalists, and of conspiring with others around the world to build a more integrated global political and economic, not just economic, global political and economic. That's a one-world government. And he says, if that's the charge, I stand guilty, and I am proud of it, end quote. Now, 2 years later, in 2004, I've mentioned this in the past, during the campaign, the presidential campaign for re-election, President Bush mailed, he didn't make a big deal, it's rather secret mailing here, to a video to Hispanic voters, and it showed him waving a Mexican flag. And he was stating there, quote, about 15 years before the Civil War, much of the American West was northern Mexico. The people who lived there were not called Latinos or Hispanics, they were Mexican citizens, until all that land became part of the United States. After that, many of them were treated as foreigners in their own land, end quote. And commenting on that, the L.A. Times on April 2 of 2006 had a column, an editorial, in which it said President Bush, quote, essentially described millions of Americans who populate his home state, Texas, as the true foreigners in someone else's native land, end quote. And so here you have President Bush waving this Mexican flag.
In fact, have you ever seen the clip of that? He's also speaking at least part of it in Spanish, because here's a man, the president, who said English should be the official language of our country. Everybody should learn to speak English. So why is he giving a talk aimed at Hispanics, at least partly in Hispanic? You know, is he being honest with the American people when he says everybody should learn English? If he is, why is he giving part of the speech in Spanish?
Right, and the very next year you have one of his people, you may remember the controversial election in 2000, the dangling chads there in Florida. You may remember the Secretary of State there, his name was Catherine Harris. Well, she became a U.S. Representative in Congress. And lo and behold, on that very next year, right after President Bush is waving this flag around, on May 26 of 2005, she introduced a piece of legislation called the North American Cooperative Security Act. And if you look real carefully at it, what it calls for is the integration of Mexican and Canadian defense institutions with those of the U.S. So here she is, played a really important part there in 2000. The year after he waves his Mexican flag around, here she's introducing this measure into Congress in 2005. Well, Robert Congdon is the name of the individual who's been preparing a manuscript. It's going to be coming out in the book. He's actually located, I think, currently in Edinburgh, Scotland. And he's just completed a manuscript that I'm looking forward to seeing. It's about the gradualistic, covert, sort of secret process that was used by Jean Monnet with the extensive support of the Council on Foreign Relations, of course, to originally form the European Union. Now, this is the process that they used to do that. And he describes this process as the same type of thing that he sees being applied to this SPP, Security and Prosperity Partnership, between the three countries here. Same process. And what you find is on January 9th of 2000, the EU, European Union, presented a paper which was called Strategic Objectives 2000 to 2005, Shaping the New Europe. And what they reveal there is that, quote, what we are aiming at is a new kind of global governance to manage the global economy and environment. 3 months later, March 31, 2000, the EU Commission President, his name is Romano Prodi. He's now Italian Prime Minister. He delivered a speech just 3 months after that titled, quote, Europe and Global Governance. And in this speech, he declares that, quote, global governance can emerge only from inter-regional cooperation. This means pursuing both economic and political integration. There's that word again. Our European model of integration is the most developed in the world. I believe that we can make a convincing case that it would also work globally, end quote. That's the key there. So what you will have is the linkage of the SPP to the European Union following the same model, and this is furthering the plan for world government.
And the New World Order and the New World Religion are coming very rapidly. Remember, behind this, these powerful spiritual forces. Our guest has been Dr. Dennis Cuddy. Thank you so very much for being with us. We'll look forward to talking to you next week.
Thanks for having me.
Bye-bye. God bless.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Your area has just unexpectedly flooded. The power's out, so is the water, and you are thirsty. But wait, outside, look, there's lots of water. And then you see it.
Oh my gosh! What is that floating in the water? And what is that odor?
No problem. You thought ahead and own a Berkey water purification system. Berkey has revolutionized the way water is purified simply and naturally. Requiring no power, electricity, or water pressure, the powerful black Berkey elements extract pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, chemicals, heavy metals, and other nasties that might be found in flood water. Berkey systems can purify treated water during normal times, and during unexpected emergencies, they can get rid of the unhealthy stuff in raw, untreated water. For more information on the powerful Berkey line of products, call New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438, or visit us on the web at berkeywater.com.
Did you know you have been cheated? You owe no debt on your bank-issued credit cards. You heard that right. You owe no debt on your bank-issued credit cards. You don't have to pay them off. The banks are defrauding you. Now is the time to fight back. You can completely wipe out your credit card debt fast. The procedure is easy and everything is done legally and within the law. We have better than a 90% success rate. Check out 1-2-3nodebt.com. The process is simple and is non-judicial. It's an easy letter-writing process that can be done by anyone with a personal computer. With our package, you also get the Credit Secrets Bible, loaded with valuable information about credit restoration and credit repair and much, much more. Don't let the banksters cheat you. Fight back, America. Stop the fraud. Stop the ripoff. Learn the truth. 1-2-3nodebt.com. Come over and get our rock-solid technology that wipes out debt without bankruptcy. It's really quite easy. Go to 1-2-3nodebt.com. Live debt-free now. You lose nothing but the debt.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, are there really secret societies out there dedicated to the destruction of America? Well, if you haven't read the book written by Bill Clinton's mentor, Professor Carol Quigley. We carry it. The book was suppressed actively for many years. The book is called Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time. And no sooner was it published back in 1966 than somebody bought it from Macmillan Publishers and destroyed the place of the first half of the book so it couldn't be reprinted. And if you think that story sounds incredible, we offer an interview with Professor Carol Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, where he tells that story. And you'll actually hear his voice now. He's been dead since about 1976, but fortunately we do have the tape recording, him telling this story. Now, you can get the book Tragedy and Hope through our ministry, or you can get it along with the book Foundations, Their Power and Influence, and the two-tape set anyway, they call the Tragedy and Hope Special. You need to understand how these people who created the Boer War and the First World War and the Second World War, and yes, the same people, of course, are creating the war in the Middle East today. Now, of course, the book ends in 1966 when it was published, but you can see how the people work. You'll learn how about Norman Schwarzkopf. Colonel Norman Schwarzkopf's father, Colonel Schwarzkopf was General Schwarzkopf's father, and he was working with the CIA back in 1953 when we toppled the Shah of Iran, we toppled Premier Mossadegh and brought the Shah of Iran to power. And then, as you remember, in 1979, we toppled the Shah and brought the Ayatollah Khomeini to power, and I believe in preparation for just where we are today. Because, you see, these people don't think from year to year or decade to decade. They think from generation to generation, sometimes from century to century. Because behind all of this are the ancient mystery religions, and behind the ancient mystery religions are powerful spiritual forces that are directing the affairs of the world and control the power elite. My book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to read it, or you can get the DVD or the video that goes with it. It's the Brotherhood of Darkness will give you a brief introduction to this whole world conspiracy. And it is, and it's an age-old conspiracy, and it's been around for thousands of years, but its ultimate goal has been world government, and you can see that world government coming now, like the freight train coming down the track, right directly towards us. And so we have so many other books, of course, and videos and DVDs will help you to understand how it works. If you have not yet seen the new DVD we're offering called The Da Vinci Con, which takes you into the Gnostic religion and its influence on Hollywood today and so many of the most popular films you've seen, that's The Da Vinci Con, put out by our good friend, Pastor Joe Schimmel, who put out They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. You'll certainly want to get that either DVD or video, the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version. The Da Vinci Con is almost 3 hours. Certainly our DVD on the Secret Mysteries of America's Beginnings. That's the Secret Mysteries of America's Beginnings. We've got some other great new ones coming out. Megiddo 1, Megiddo 2, and we'll very, very soon have The Rape of the Soul, but we won't offer it that yet until we actually have them around. But you'll find that really fascinating as well. Understand that all of these point to the same spiritual forces working behind the scenes, taking us to world government. We have a great 4-tape set on the supernatural. That's the supernatural. We have our 4-tape set on Aleister Crowley. We have certainly the book on Aleister Crowley, Blood on the Altar, although there are a few things in the book I disagree with, why the book overall is excellent, and we recommend it to you. Johanna Michelson's book, The Beautiful Side of Evil. Johanna was a medium. She was part of the whole world occult movement until she suddenly realized what she was into, and the supernatural events she was witnessing were not of this world, but of the other world. That's The Beautiful Side of Evil. Certainly go to our website at RadioWD.com, and you can read about the things that we have. Remember, we do carry health products. We do carry Berkey products. We do carry a few other products. We do hope many of you will decide to help Radio Liberty, and you can do that by joining the Radio Liberty family. And then, of course, pray for America, pray for revival, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.
Nuclear reactors provide economical energy, but would you be prepared during an accident? During nuclear disasters, great amounts of radioactive iodine are released into the atmosphere, which are then readily absorbed into the body. Medical Corps' potassium iodate gives you virtually complete protection from the most feared consequence of a nuclear accident, radioactive poisoning. Potassium iodate can protect against radioactive poisoning by...
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince me that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring.